Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have a very special guest on the line with me today, and I am going to completely shift gears. I had a guest ask me the other day, what's the theme of your shows this week? And I said, there's not one. I like to jump around and keep you, ladies and gentlemen, interested and entertained, hopefully with good program, good content. And so I like to shift gears. So I'm shifting gears again, and we have Dr. Jeffrey LaGrasso on the line. He is a plastic surgeon, and the website for our program today is LaGrassoMD.com, LaGrassoMD.com, LaGrassoMD.com. Dr. LaGrasso, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David.
Thank you for agreeing to be with us. I'm excited to have you on, and let me give a quick, I'm sure this is a very summarized rundown of your experience and medical training, doctor. But Dr. LaGrasso completed his general surgical training at New York Hospital of Queens, plastic surgical training at Albany Medical Center, selected to complete a prestigious craniofacial and pediatric plastic surgery fellowship at the Children's Hospital of Los Angeles. Only a few surgeons received that recognition and opportunity. And specifically dealing with advanced specialties and emphasis on reconstruction of complex deformities in children. I mean, the list continues on and on. It's only a 30-minute show, doctor, so we can't cover all of those accomplishments. But I'm very interested in speaking with you because I know there's been tremendous advances and just a continued greater awareness about children who need the work that you do, the plastic surgery, to give them that normal or as close to normal as they can be with things like cleft lips and other craniofacial issues that they have.
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, if you look at the statistics, you know, 1 out of every 600 to 700 children who are born with a cleft lip. So it's not a small number.
No, it's not.
You know, bigger in certain ethnic populations, such as the Latino-Hispanic, not as common in the Caucasian and the African-American, but, you know, that's the average, about 1 to 600 to 700 live births. So it's something that we have to deal with. And it's something that, you know, doesn't just only affect the children, but it affects the parents, it affects the family, because, you know, you're sitting there, you know, waiting for the child to come out, and you're thinking of all the good things and this and that. And, you know, unfortunately, due to just the way that the birth went through, you know, and how the child was growing in the uterus, you know, something just didn't happen and connect, right? So the kid comes out and has this, you know, deformity, has this cleft in the lip. Sometimes it includes the palate. Sometimes it could be associated with, you know, other sorts of craniofacial disorders. And then, you know, the parents are startled. They don't know what to do. They start, you know, searching for information. You know, this is something that every plastic surgeon sees during training, but, you know, not things that everyone, you know, tends to do extra training in or specialization in. So, you know, and typically involves a, you know, keen sort of approach, because it could affect, you know, not only just the cosmetic appearance, but it can affect the dentition, it could affect your speech. So, you know, there's a lot of things that need to go on once this diagnosis is made.
So, okay, so let's start right there, because this is such a critical thing. Once that diagnosis is made, obviously the sooner this can be addressed, the better. That's kind of an obvious thing.
Absolutely.
And so what's the next step? I mean, you mentioned people going online, doing research. Is it as straightforward as it would seem to be that they need to find a somebody that is trained in this area to then do this procedure or to attempt to, you know, to correct the deformity?
No, the best thing to do and the best research for a parent that children who have, you know, pretty much any sort of deformity, especially one in plastic surgery, is to, you know, do your research through the local children's hospital.
Okay.
That's number one.
Good.
I mean, if they're the ones, you know, if there's a division of plastic surgery there, you know, they're going to have someone who's trained in pediatric plastic surgery that can handle this kind of stuff. Now, if you're somewhere where you don't have a big children's hospital nearby, you know, usually every state has a some sort of a collect lip clinic that they can refer you to, or another good research which we'll have where all those clinics are for kids who are born with a cleft lip and palate would be the Cleft Lip Craniofacial Association. So, and that's something that you can just look up online. You can plug in your state, and they have tons of resources for, you know, children born with any sort of pediatric endosthesis list where you can go. But like I said, you know, the first thing is your local children's hospital.
Okay, excellent, excellent resource. If you're just joining us, Dr. Jeffrey LaGrasso is on the line with me. He's a plastic surgeon, heavy-duty specialties, but does a lot of different type of plastic surgery. And you can, of course, learn a lot more about Dr. LaGrasso's work at LaGrassoMD.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Welcome back. We have Dr. Jeffrey LaGrasso on the line, plastic surgeon. And, we talked before the break, Doctor, about the work with children, the craniofacial, and I know you've done a lot of work in that area. Another thing that you got some recognition for, some international acclaim, actually, was your involvement in the separation of conjoined twins in Los Angeles in 2006. Now, that's amazing. That's what's on television, and this is the stuff that is... it takes on a celebrity status. What role did you? I'm very curious to ask when I found out you did that. What part were you involved with that separation or reconstruction?
Yeah, that happened at the end of my fellowship when I was doing my extra training in pediatric plastic surgery and craniofacial surgery.
Okay.
So I think the operation happened in June of 2006. It was June or July. But I was involved directly with the planning because, you know, even though the operation took place when the children were about 1 year of age, and they were what's called histiopages, meaning that they were attached at the hip, and they did share some internal organs.
Wow.
You know, once again, this is a big team thing because everyone's got to play a part. You know, as plastic surgeons, we're involved in the beginning of the operation where we're making the cuts, and we're involved at the end when we're putting everything back together. You know, then the... pediatric surgeons, the pediatric urologists, they're the ones that are reconstructing the internal organs. You know, there was a shared colon, there was some shared bladders and kidneys, so they had to kind of separate that and do all their parts. But this is planning that happens, you know, pretty much since when the child's born. The story was that these children were born in Mexico City, and then when they found out that they had some issues, they came to California and the Los Angeles in particular. You know, these are once-in-a-lifetime operations. It's not like these things happen frequently.
Right.
You know, so the planning goes into, you know, how are we going to separate them? You know, models were made, CAT scans were taken.
Wow.
And how are we going to get it closed? Because obviously being attached, there's not enough skin. So our initial operation was that, you know, we go in there a couple months prior to the separation date, and we put these things called tissue expanders in. What they are, they're kind of inflatable balloons that go underneath the skin, and we fill them up with a saline salt solution over a period of a couple weeks to a couple months to expand the skin over it so that when we when we make the cuts, we have more skin to kind of wrap around and
right.
expose the entire baby.
Wow.
It's the same thing that's done, you know, with breast reconstruction for, you know, women who have a mastectomy and they have very little skin. They'll actually expand the skin and stretch it out so that they can do the reconstruction by putting in sort of a breast implant to give it a normal appearing shape, you know, contour and texture.
Well, that actually brings me to jumping over to a very different area. I wanted to ask you something I ran across when I was looking at your website for our program today, and I wanted to ask you about a term I saw there, and it's used a couple different ways, vaser, liposuction, vaser smooth cellulite, vaser high definition body sculpting. What is, I'm thinking vaser, I've heard of phasers and lasers, but I don't know about what a vaser is.
Vaser was a company.
Okay.
The parent company is Down Surgical. They make a product which assists in body contouring and liposuction. What the vaser actually is, it's a probe that shoots an ultrasonic wave. So that I've used it for the past 5 years, and I find that it gives me phenomenal results when I'm doing my liposuction and body contouring procedures. You know, liposuction is one of the biggest procedures out there. You know, it's performed by many different specialties, but, you know, it looks very easy, but it's actually very technically difficult. And if not done right, you know, you can get a deforming
sure.
result instead of a phenomenal result with which you would expect to have. So it's not just about going into an area and taking out that. You know, I'm going into an area with a conception in mind that I'm going to create some sort of a shape or contour. You know, in women, we're always looking at S-shapes. If you look at a woman, you know, if you follow their curves, everything should be an S. You know, they want that narrow waistline. They want that concavity in the lower back. It makes the buttocks look more pronounced in the shape of their and lifted. You know, they want, you know, thin, slim thighs. They want, you know, the dimpling to be removed. So the vaser, applying this ultrasound technology, allows me to cavitate, which is pretty much, you know, breaking up the fat cells into smaller pieces, which when I do my job for removing the fat with my cannula, I can kind of get all the planes of where the fat is and create the shape that I want. You know, I can get that hourglass shape in women. You know, I can define the six-pack musculature in men. And the beauty of it is that the vaser ultrasound waves are not actually damaging the fat cells. They are still viable. You know, they've done studies that the fat taken after being, you know, disrupted with the vaser is 91% to 93% viable. So I can take that fat and use it somewhere else.
Oh, really?
Like women, the big thing nowadays is called the Brazilian butt lift procedure, where we're taking the fat and we're putting it into the buttocks, increasing the size, increasing the shape, increasing the projection of the buttocks just to get that better curve that women want. You know, and then I'll put some of the fat in the upper chest to give more, you know, pec volume. I'll put some in the deltoid to get that broader chest. You know, we can transfer it into the face. Whenever I do a facelift procedure, I'm injecting the fat into the face to add more volume and more structural support. You know, we use it in children. You know, in kids who are actually born with a disease called hemifacial microsomia, where one side of the face is underdeveloped, we can take fat and we can put, you know, fat there to kind of create more symmetry. So, you know, the vaser has a lot of applications and has really allowed me to expand my practice to achieve results that I wasn't able to achieve beforehand.
Very interesting. Dr. Jeffrey LaGrasso is on the line with us, plastic surgeon. Website, lagrassomd.com. Quick break, we'll come right back.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
Dr. Jeffrey LaGrasso is on the line sharing his time with us and talking about plastic surgery, some of the situations he's dealt with where, of course, people have deformities, especially with the children. And then we're talking also about elective surgery. You know, here's kind of a really, I'm going to go 100,000 feet here, doctor. What are some of the top things, and I know you've encountered this in your career, what are some of the top misconceptions that people have about plastic surgery?
Well, the top misconception that people have is that, you know, they think that the only thing that we do is cosmetic surgery, which is actually false. as a plastic surgeon, our training, which is extensive, you know, typically, obviously, you go through your 4 years of medical school and your 4 years of college, but I did 4 years of general surgery training and then 2 years of plastic surgery training and then an additional year of training in facial surgery.
Wow.
So the minimum to be a board-certified plastic surgeon, the minimum of 6 years of residency after medical school.
Wow.
So, you know, it's something that, you know, it's one of the most competitive fields. It's typically only about 200, 220 plastic surgeons out of 16,000 people, you know, who are graduating from programs every year go into. So it's extremely competitive. But, you know, we're all over the body. I mean, we're dealing with skin cancer. We're dealing with, you know, children. We're dealing with tough lips, palates, you know, cranial synostosis, kids born with a regular shaped head. We're dealing with breast reconstruction. We're dealing with trauma. You know, people who break their facial bones need to get them reconstructed. You know, I did jaw surgery in my pediatric plastic surgery fellowship. You know, hand surgery is a subspecialty of plastic surgery. You know, anytime they're broken bones, you know, sometimes the skin overlying is not good enough. You need to, you know, cover the fracture site, the flaps, the muscle flaps.
Right.
There's tons of things that plastic surgeons do, but everyone, you know, the media, as well as, you know, TV, only portrays one side of things because that's, you know, that's the sexy side.
Yeah, no, come on now. That never happens.
That's the deal with the celebrities.
That never happens, doctor. The media never does that. Come on now.
Exactly.
Well, fascinating stuff. Now, I ran across a term on your website, and I wanted to ask you, this is the David Learned Something for today, and I'm not going to pronounce it correctly, I'm sure, but microtia, micro-T-I-A?
Microtia.
Microtia surgery. What is that?
Microtia is a deformity of the ear where the ear is not completely formed.
Okay.
Usually, it's just a little nub. And I was lucky enough that I trained in Los Angeles at the Children's Hospital under one of the prominent, you know, microtia treating doctors in the world, a guy by the name of Dr. John Reinich. And he came up with a way of treating microtia at an earlier age using what's called a med port implant, kind of a porous plastic, for lack of a better word, implant that we carve in the shape of an ear. Then we use the body's tissue to wrap around that so that it integrates into the shape that we want. And then we cover it with some skin grafts so that it'll actually look like a normal ear. You know, depending on how the child's anatomy or the ear canal is, sometimes we'll involve an ear, nose, and throat doctor, and they'll actually try to make an ear canal if all of the necessary bony structures are there so that, you know, they can probably get the hearing out of it.
It's amazing to, you know, there's, of course, again, this is the media and the what's on television and the paper. We, you know, some of the stuff that you're doing, we always look ahead to technology, but, you know, with the work you do, doctor, the plastic surgery and you know, other surgeons trained like you, you know, you're already dealing with stuff that is very futuristic. And the thing that jumps into my mind, because again, I'm a money guy. So naturally I'm thinking about, you've got a situation like that, say with a child that is born with no ear or very little of ear tissue. How is that paid for? What happens there?
It's an operation. It usually involves a series of operations.
Yeah.
To get it done perfectly, because there's different parts that you can reconstruct at different times. But the beauty of doing it the way that I learned using the mid-core implant, that you can start early. The other way of reconstructing the ear is by using the child's own rib.
Right.
The rib cartilage graft. You know, that the child has to be a little bit older to you, usually around 7 or 8. So, you know, we found that, you know, it's a quicker operation. It's, you know, easier to have a higher success rate using the med port implant. You can do it at an earlier age because, let's be honest, you know, as innocent children are, they're also the first person to say something to make fun of somebody else who's different than they are.
Yeah.
So, you know, the goal is to fix everything sooner that we can so that, you know, the children can begin, you know, integrating and assimilating into, you know, the classroom, into society without having that, you know, stigmata of something being wrong.
Yeah, and my question is, there's a cost here, and so has this come from private pay, or I'm not asking you to quote numbers because I know that there's a lot of variables, but has it come private pay, government funded, charity supported, all of the above? How are these things? Some of these things that you talk about, because if, you know, if that's, somebody has that, a child has that, and say the parents do not have the money, Is there funding? I guess the question is there funding available outside of somebody just paying for it themselves, or is it a insurance? How is this typically covered?
A lot of it is covered by insurance.
Okay.
Which is a good thing. You know, that's probably the majority of the cases.
Okay, that's
that
good
do.
To know. Okay, because
the other ones, there are a lot of people that fly in from out of the country. You know, those are typically more of a private situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's always funding, you know, an endowment for things. You know, you just got to do a little research and find out, you know, what's available to you as a patient and as a parent. You know, but a lot of times, you know, these things are covered by, you know, Medicare, Medicaid type things. So, or, you know, most private insurance, you know, will cover these things.
Okay, interesting. If you're just joining us, Dr. Jeffrey LaGrasso is on the line with me, plastic surgeon, a website, lagrassomd.com. A lot of good information there. Quick break. We'll be right back.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back. Dr. Jeffrey LaGrasso is on the line with me, and the website is lagrassomd.com. You know, I was asking you some questions, doctor, about, you know, how these things are paid for before the break. And the thing that occurred to me as I was thinking about it on the break, you mentioned earlier about, you know, a resource for parents and families who are looking at a situation where maybe a child needs some sort of surgery, especially plastic surgery, the local children's hospital being a resource. I'll bet they're also going to have a lot of information about how these things are funded.
Exactly.
That's very good. You know, and the other point I was going to make, you talked about some of the things that, you know, with the media and some of the misperceptions for your specialty of medical care. The other, you know, I think generalization is that it's all elective and therefore it's all paid for out of pocket. And as you just substantially dismissed that, you know, that a lot of this is insurance covered if it, you know, medically necessary procedures and restorative and things that need to be done for people to be able to, you know, to function.
Absolutely. I mean, the field of plastic surgery is full of reconstructive options. I mean, you know, if you look at it, we're really called plastic and reconstructive surgeon, not just plastic surgeon. As I said, you know, the sexy side of it, you know, the Hollywood side, you know, the surgery's gone good or the surgery's gone bad or which movie star has changed this and which movie star has changed that. And, you know, they look different, but, you know, that just kind of, you know, skips over the other side of things, you know, for the people who actually, you know, were in accidents or, you know, were there or even if, you know, you get bit by a dog or
or snake.
And you get a laceration on your face that needs to be sewn up.
Yeah. Well, I know that the real world is not the nip-tuck world of television. And it's pretty extraordinary. I have to ask this question, of course. Doing what you do, you mentioned the celebrities. This is just kind of maybe a little bit of entertainment here for us. Can you very quickly tell, you know, which celebrities have had work done? Is it like as easy as my counting numbers?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can tell, especially when you have some photos of somebody, you know, a couple of years before and a new photo where you think things have changed. But, you know, plastic surgery is not always about having a dramatic change. Sometimes
True.
It's just fine little changes. You know, that's something that I learned in Los Angeles. You know, those celebrities, specifically, you know, on the more attractive end of things, you know, they're usually fit. So they usually have good bone structure. So they,
right.
you know, they don't need a drastic change. They just want to take, you know, something that they have and they want to look better. And a lot of people want to do that, you know, and they want to look natural. You know, obviously, you know, everybody knows the plastic surgery gone bad. I mean, you know, we've all watched TVs and, you know, seen, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, this guy or this woman has had, you know, this done, they look horrible, you know, who did this, who did that. But, you know, the majority of the times, most people aren't going to be able to pick up some of the small things that are done because they are small and they're just, you know, they're finessing.
Very good.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, taking the car to the shop and getting a little bit of a tune-up. You know, you just want it to run better and longer, you're not really changing the whole body.
Well, yeah, and I think that that's where people need to do their research, they need to do their homework, then go to your website, lagrassomd.com. I've already checked it out. It's pretty cool. You got a lot of, you know, you got before and after, of course, which is, a, you know, kind of a hallmark of the plastic surgery, that plastic and reconstructive surgery, now that I know to say that correctly. Good stuff, doctor. I really appreciate your being on to share with us and helping us understand more about plastic surgery. And of course, you know, there is a cost element that people need to be aware of, and but it is a very important thing that people need to look at. Dr. Jeffrey LaGrasso. Thank you, doctor.
Thank you, David.
All right.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.